Church family, would you turn with me to 1 John chapter 1? 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to move to our next verse, but we're going to read verse 4 again, even though I know we're starting in verse 5 this week. But I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, and would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to read verses 5 through 10 together if you have your Bible, and concentrate on verses 5 through 7. Verse 4 says, and you may recall this from last week, we talked about this. It says, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Anybody here want to opt out of that one? No. We all want our joy to be full. Amen. Lord, help our joy to be full, and we know it's going to be forthcoming. There needs to be this understanding, really, and a following. And as I said last week, if there could be a therefore, it could be put right here. Here is the therefore of that message. We talked about that last week a bit. It says, "This is the message which we have heard from him," verse 5, "and we declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Shall we just repeat that? Verse 10. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us through your word. Let it be very poignant, not just to our minds, but to our hearts and to our obedient life. In Jesus' name we do pray, and all God's people said, amen. Would you be seated? Right there in verse 4, he said, "And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Now, wouldn't that be wonderful if every day of our life our joy was made full? Not to have just a little bit of joy, but a whole lot of joy. I like a lot of joy. And here, John is giving us the secret to getting full joy. Joy is accomplished, how? In our fellowship with God. That's where joy comes from. And then, in addition to that, he gives a second ingredient, fellowship with one another. Look to the person beside you, go ahead and say, "I can't wait to get my joy from you." Some of you are laughing. But that's what God intended. He said, we're going to have full joy, and then he says it's going to come from fellowship with God and one another. How about that? Your joy is dependent on another individual in a small manner. But mostly and by far, it is dependent on the Lord your God. How do I know this? It says so right here. It tells us that our fellowship with God is what brings us that peace and that joy. Now, last week we dissected that word fellowship. Remember, koinonia. And we looked at its fullness to mean not just an act of fellowship, which this is an act of fellowship where we gather. An act of fellowship is taking the Lord's Supper. An act of fellowship is singing together. An act of fellowship is hearing a sermon together. But we looked at its fullness of meaning, not just to be an act, but what? Do you remember? An experience of fellowship. Feeling the love. Hey, amen? You know, you can tell somebody you love them a lot, but until they experience it, it's just words. And God wants you to experience his fellowship with him and with your fellow believers. The greatest thing above the act of fellowship is the experience of fellowship. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, Paul wrote, he said, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of what? Sufferings. How can we have fellowship with the sufferings? Listen, Jesus Christ suffered that you might live. He said, we need to know him. Know him. Not just know about him. Know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now the key, if we're going to just make it plain, the key is not just to see God. The key is not just to hear God, but what? To experience God. You do that through a love relationship, dear folks. The ultimate aim, I said this last week, the ultimate aim of all preaching and all teaching should be to teach you to know God, to feel his presence, and to know his love. Now, part of that is up to you. You've got to take the things that we see and hear and know and then apply them to your walk so that you can experience. You can hear a foreign language all day, but until you try to begin to speak it and apply it, it's not going to do you a whole lot of good. We need to come to the realization that Christ Jesus, the Lord our God, wants us to experience him firsthand, not just through a preacher, not just through a Sunday school teacher, not just through a parent, but personally, a personal love relationship. To come to the realization, dear friends, God wants you to come to that realization that God seeks you. Not just the person next to you, because if you're like me, there have been times in your life where you thought, you know, God will touch anybody and everybody in this world, but he probably won't touch me. Not true. That's a lie of Satan. You are the target for God's love. You are the target for God's experience of knowing him. He wants you to have real and sweet and abiding fellowship with him. How and why? So that your joy would be full. That's what this scripture is saying. If we could have fellowship with God, our joy would be full. It's the most wonderful thing a human being can experience. But there's a hurdle to get over there, isn't there? We know about the hurdle. There's a hurdle to get over to this fellowship with God. And our hopes are dashed when we face up to this dilemma. And that is, as this scripture says, God is the light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That's what this scripture said. In him is no darkness at all. So let's talk about that. Let's break this down a bit. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What does that mean? It means that God is holy. It means that God is sinless. There is no dark. And now we know man is dark, amen? We know we're dark. We know we have sin. I mean, we just read through this scripture. It says if we say we don't have sin, we're a liar and the truth is not within us. But God says that he is light with no darkness at all. How does light and darkness get together? How in the world can darkness have fellowship with the light? How can we bridge the gulf between a holy Savior and a sinful me? How can a sinful me bridge that gap and get to a holy God? Well, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says that God says, listen, the way you think it's going to happen, it's not going to happen. And what you think ought to be done is not going to be done. Because God says in Isaiah 55, 8, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. And we sure try our best to get to God the way we think it should happen. The gap between us and God is deep and wide. You remember that old song we sang in Sunbeams? You know, about the love of God? Deep and wide. Listen, our sin is deep and wide. It needs the deep and wide of God's love. Amen? So, how is a sinful man, How is a sinful person going to walk in fellowship with God when we have darkness and in God is no darkness at all? Well, again, man has tried to bridge that gap, and he's tried a couple of different ways. He's tried to bridge that gap by trying to lower God down to his level, or to try to raise man up to his level. And the problem is, neither one of those work. You cannot make God where he just is going to accept sin, because he's light and in him is no darkness at all. So neither of these can be done, because we're sinful. We surely cannot come up to his perfection. But that's what God's word says. He says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How do we meet that standard? We try to contradict God's word. That's how man does it. We decide, oh, well, you know, God's word doesn't really require perfection. And so we start taking the word and we start misinterpreting and we start messing it up and we start adding our own thoughts and flavors to it. And folks, that doesn't work before God. It works before man to say, oh, well, God accepts our sin. No, he doesn't. God's word makes it plain. Jesus' perfection is the only way. And here, John gives us a great definition of God. What was that definition of God? He said, God is light. God is light. Now, when John says God is light, he's revealing a great deal about God. First of all, light speaks of glory. Amen? It speaks of the radiance and the beauty of God. Have you ever seen the eastern sky when the sun comes up in a blaze of glory on a clear morning? I will never forget the night at 3 o'clock in the morning that I got up in Egypt. Yes, Egypt. And they took me to a camel. And the camel took me halfway up a mountain. And then I climbed the rest of the way up that mountain called Mount Sinai. And at the top of Mount Sinai, we watched the sun come up over that desert. I'm going to tell you, it was absolutely mind-boggling. I got some pictures, I just don't do it justice. Have you ever seen the sun come up over the horizon? Folks, the majesty and the beauty of light can overwhelm the mind. God is light. Oh, the beauty and the radiance of the glory of God, because the sun of this world doesn't even compare to the brilliance of God. Secondly, there's another characteristic of light. It is self-revealing. It is self-revealing. In other words, light diffuses itself. You don't have to get in there and add something to light to make it light up the area. It just kind of goes all over, amen? You just have the light and get into the light and there it is. It just kind of reflects and it's all over the place. Have you ever put on a shirt, guys? My closet's a little dark and I don't always turn the light on. I'll go in there and I'll look around and I'll find a shirt. I go, oh, that's the shirt I want to wear. I'll put that shirt on and I'll come out of the closet. And you know, my wife, she says what your wife says. She says, you're not going to wear that. And it's not a question. Well, yeah, I'm going to wear this. Well, not only does it not match your pants, but you got a stain right there on the front. And I'm looking down and I said, I did say, well, by golly, there's a stain. You know, when I was in the closet, that thing looked just fine. But then when I got out in the light, the stain got revealed. You beginning to understand what I'm saying here? If it weren't for the light, I wouldn't be able to see the dirt. God's light reveals our flaws and our stain that needs to be addressed. Somebody said it this way. They said, secret sin down here is open scandal in heaven. Our sins are right there before God in his light. Why? Because God is light. You cannot stand before God and your stains not be revealed because God is light. That's why we avoid the light sometimes. I'd just as soon walk out and cover up that shirt I was wearing so I didn't have to change again. And I do that with my sin too, don't I? I cover it up and walk on. Oh, nobody's going to see that. But the heart stain is seen clearly by God. Light also speaks of the purity of God and His stainless holiness. God's holiness cannot be stained. God moves without ever making a shadow. Have you thought about that? Because light can't make a shadow. God doesn't cast a shadow. There's no shadow. There's no darkness in Him because He is light. He is purity. Did you know that the sun that God created, that solar planet that's out there that is bright and lights our day and reflects the moon by night, did you know that that sun is a great cleansing agent? I think it's really cool that God did that and showed us that that's partly how it works. Did you know that hanging your clothes in the sunlight will bleach your clothes and deodorize them? Why do you think they hung things out on the line even when they got dryers? Because it cleanses and it deodorizes, and God's light does the same thing for our heart stains. When we walk in the light. One more. Light guides men. Amen. Psalms 119. Do you remember Psalms 119 that you learned in Vacation Bible School? You remember Psalms 119? Thy word is a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. You remember that? Listen, God's word will light our way. Light on the horizon gives us courage. Light on the horizon gives me hope to keep moving on. Did anybody else have a problem about midweek of this last week? After 3, 4, 5 days of the dreary, dark, cloud-covered days? Listen, I told the folks in the office, I said, I'm ready to get out in some sunshine somewhere. This darkness is getting to me. Listen, light gives me hope. And God's light should give you hope. When you see God's light, when you hear God's truth, it reveals truth to us. It's no wonder that God has John, not just to describe Him as light, but to reveal to us that God is light. He's not just like light. Yeah, you know that one from another phrase, don't you? Next thing is, darkness is more than just the opposite of light. If I said, what's the opposite of light? You would say, darkness. And it is the opposite of light. But it's not just the opposite of light, it's hostile to the light. Our darkness, this world's darkness, is hostile to God's light. The light and the holiness of God are in direct conflict with darkness, with evil, with the chaos of this world. And the chaos of this world is in conflict with God. That's our dilemma. Listen, that is your dilemma. If I could point you out and point right at you and look right down my finger at your nose, I would do it to each and every one of you and then right back at me to say, that's my dilemma. That's your dilemma. I am a creature of the dark. My sin makes me a creature of the dark. I am filled with sin. And the truth is, according to God and God's word, I am totally depraved without the grace and the goodness and the forgiveness and the salvation of God. With God's salvation, there's a difference. But without it, I'm just a creature of the darkness. God's word makes it very, very, very clear that he finds no good within the heart of mankind. The Bible says that our hearts are evil, that we seek the wrong. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, if you know this verse, you could quote it with me, says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many people? All people have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 7:18 says, for I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Not only do we have no innate goodness, but the darkness that we do have, dear people, have we not established that we are people of darkness, that our sin is darkness, and the darkness is what with God? Enmity, an enemy. We are at war with the light of God. Now, Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, he says, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So in other words, what it's saying is the worldly mind is an enemy to God. The worldly mind. Didn't Jesus say, you're either for me or against me? There are no fence sitters. We live in a world that is in absolute rebellion to God, and God is holy. God is purity. I am a sinner. I am filled with darkness. Yes, I'm saved by grace, but how am I going to have fellowship with God? How am I going to walk with Him? We've established this difference, darkness and light. Light and darkness. My heart, His brightness. Problem, how is that going to happen? One way that man has tried to do it, we said, is to try to bring God down to his own level, to our own level here. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 tells us about that. We move from verse 5 to verse 6 now. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Now, this statement is making an obvious thought, and that is that there's a lot of people out there that are claiming to have fellowship with God, but don't. Isn't that what this is saying? Let me say, is it true that we say that we are filled with darkness, we have sin? It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So there's a lot of people out there saying, well, I have fellowship with God, when in reality, they do not have fellowship with God at all. They have a practice of religion, but they are not following God. And then John makes a pretty bold statement about those people. By the way, those people is us. Those people is me. Those people is you. Listen, how do we say it any different? We are the people. But John then says something pretty bold. He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, let me just ask you this. Do you understand what John is saying here? He's just a little blunt, is he not? He's saying, if you say you have fellowship with God, but you're still walking in sin, you're still walking in darkness, you're a liar. Now, I didn't say that. I'm too polite to say that. Sometimes. But John says it, and John is pretty bold about it. He said, if you say you're walking with God, but you're sinning, you're not walking in the light, you're a liar. John said that. I guess that's one reason that Jesus called him one of the sons of thunder. He just didn't mind a little lightning and boom. Maybe some of us need that, amen? Okay, maybe every one of us need that, amen? We hear so much about sin among Christianity today. And it's taken so lightly. Oh, well, God's going to forgive us. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Shall we continue to sin so that grace might increase? Heaven forbid. There's so many people that say they know God and they say, oh, you know, God understands my sin. It's okay. Have you ever heard this one? I'm only human. How about this one? You know, God will forgive. That's what he does. Or how about this one? God understands that I'm not perfect. I've heard this one. You know, if you really love each other, adultery is okay. Exodus chapter 20, right? Thou shalt not. Our problem is that we're constantly trying to bring the Word of God down to us where we don't sound so bad. Or if we can just point out the sins of other people, the light goes to them. Listen, God's light shines everywhere, amen? You can't just focus a beam at somebody else. But man would try to explain away our sin in some way or another. And my friend, I've just got to put it this way, as John said. He said, if you are going to walk with God, you are going to have to walk in his light. And if you are not walking in his light, you are not walking with him. You cannot bring God down to your level. Now this helps. Let me explain this. This is the crux of the message today. I want you to get there and I want you to understand this. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, the very next verse, if you have your Bibles open there, he says that walking in the light brings cleansing. But he says there in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. What cleanses us? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Okay, let's go back and break the verse down here. If we walk in the light, that is the light of God's Word, the light of God's truth, the light of God's revelation to us. If we're walking in his light, in his truth, we will have fellowship with one another. And we're going to come back to that another time. But it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from sin. Now, I want you to understand this, that this is a verse that is debated among folks. Some interpret this verse to mean that in order to be cleansed, you must literally obey every command of God all the time. And so when you quit sinning, you can be cleansed. Now, does that make sense to you? Do you wash the baby that's dirty or do you wash the baby that's clean? Which face do you wash first? That's not what this verse is saying. To be obedient to every command that God gives us is our goal. It is our call. But to say that that's what brings us to salvation is saying that we can get to salvation through our own works. And that's just impossible. What it is saying, listen, take this home with you. What it is saying is that where you are walking matters. Where you're walking matters. Now, what in the world does that mean? Are you walking in the light? Are you walking in the presence of God? He said, if you walk in the light. Are we allowing God's light to shine into our stains? Are we allowing God to illuminate the things that are wrong in our life? Is his light getting to our ears? Is his light getting to our hearts? Is his light getting to our life? Is the sunshine purifying our hearts and deodorizing our stench? Are we allowing his light to show us our sin Or are we covering it up? Covering it up's easier. Are we allowing the Lord our God to purify our garments? One of my favorite old-time pastors was J. Vernon McGee. How many of y'all ever heard old J. Vernon? I love to listen to him on the radio. I got to confess, when I was younger, I would try to use the stained glass voice, and I thought, you know, I sound like Lorne Greene. And I would listen to a tape expecting to hear the Lorne Greene, and it came out Gomer Pyle. I'm a Gomer Pyle for God, okay? But I'm going to tell you this. J. Vernon McGee has an old country voice, and I loved listening to him on the radio because I thought, well, I can't sound as bad as I thought I did. But he told a story one time about going hunting. He said one of his parishioners invited him to go out hunting, and he took him out to a very wide open spaces coming up on the side of a mountain. And he said, you go this way, squirrel hunting. And I said, I'm going to go this way. And he said, it's going to take us a couple of hours to get around to the other side. And he said, I'll meet you on the other side. And he said, a storm started coming about halfway across. And he said, this cool wind started going in. And he said, man, I'm about to get just drenched. So he began to look around, and right there as he walked, he saw a couple of very large overhangs in the mountains areas next to him in the hills, and he went over to it, and he found a cave. And he said, I decided to get into that cave because, he said, it came a gully washing rain and a cold wind that was just really cold. He said, I got in that cave, and he said, I was very happy for about 30 minutes till that cold wind penetrated in, and he said, I started getting cold. And he said, but I was very, very comfortable and happy inside that little cave. He said, so what I did, he said, I started gathering up a bunch of leaves and little sticks from all over that place. And he gathered them up, and he said, I put them right in the middle. And he said, I pulled out a match. He said, I made a little fire. And he said, oh, as that fire caught on, he said the light began to fill that cave. And he said, I was aghast. He said, you never saw so many cobwebs, spiders, bugs, lizards. And over in the corner was a big old snake. He said, I got out of there. He said, I got out of there fast. He said, I didn't want to stay in that. You see, here's the deal. He was comfortable sitting in the dark until the light revealed what was around him. In our worldly lives, friends, we can be very comfortable walking in the dark. But will we allow the light of God to illuminate the evil that's around us and allow Him to do it in our life to the point that we just can't stay in it anymore? We want to get out. We don't want to stay within the bugs and the creepiness and the snakes of sin. We want to get out. We would rather, sometimes it seems, live in the darkness away from God's light. And just ignore the snakes of sin that are in our life and in the corners of our life. Here's the question. Are you willing to walk in the light? Are you willing to stay in it? Are you willing to let God's light light your way, light your path, reveal your sin, and keep it ever before you until you take care of it? That's walking in the light. Walking in the light is not covering it up and saying we have fellowship with God. Walking in the light is bearing all before the Lord and letting Him do the cleansing so that we can walk closer and closer with Him. That's how our joy gets to be full. To refuse to walk in that light is to choose to remain in darkness and refuse fellowship with God. Whether you say you're saved, whether you say you're not saved. I wonder how many people today, right here, right now, in this country, at about this time, are sitting in church somewhere. And they're hearing sermons, but they're not hearing the word. Some of them are having their ears tickled, as the scripture says, because they have a pastor who wants to placate them rather than have them purified. I would ask you forgiveness, but I'm never going to ask you forgiveness for preaching the truth. God's word says that if we say we have fellowship with God, but we are not walking in His light, we're walking in the darkness, that we're liars. We're not fellowshipping with God. So many people have chosen to have their ears tickled with compromise so that they feel better about wearing their dirty laundry. And they're sitting in darkness and they're comfortable. Comfortable because they're hiding from God's light. That would illuminate the things that would be making them uncomfortable before God. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through 7. Listen carefully. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I don't think anybody likes airing our dirty laundry. But God's word says that if you want it to be cleaned and cleansed and deodorized, you got to bring it out to the light of God. That, dear friend, brings full joy. Isn't that a fun message? No. Isn't that a beneficial word? Don't we all need it? If we're to have fellowship with God, we must walk in His light. Walk in His light. Friend, look at me. You don't have to be perfect because none of us are. Praise God. That is what Jesus did on the cross to cover our imperfection. But there is a difference in receiving His light and His love and His cleansing and just continuing to walk in the dirt and the filth than it is to say, God, I'm trying. I'm working towards being like You. I'm working towards being cleaner in my walk. I'm working with my mind. I'm working with my heart. I'm working with my body. I'm working with my family. I'm working with my friends. God, I want to walk in the light. Would you like to have fellowship with God? Me too. Let's walk in the light. And it starts with a desire to allow His light to refine us, reveal our impurities, and remove the stains. Amen? Pray with me. Lord God, we so badly need heart direction, our ears to be unplugged, and to realize, Father, that the truth and the light reveal the things that we really don't want to talk about. But thank You, God, that in Your love and in the perfection of Your Son, my dirty laundry is cleanable. My life is restorable. My love is growable. God, thank You that You love me enough to be the light. Help me to walk in you, dear Father. Friends, with your head bowed in prayer, do you have business to do with God this morning? Have you been walking in the light, or have you been hiding in the closet? Maybe it's time that you reveal yourself to the Lord Jesus, because you see, He already knows. Amen. He already knows. But would you ask Him to forgive, to help you to walk in His light every day? This altar is here.